All right, and we've got a lot of activity here in the room. That's exciting. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, your host. I'm the general manager here at WPKN. I do a monthly show called the GM Report to the listeners, where I get a chance to bring in some of our community members to talk about what they may be working on, some projects. Sometimes I bring in for-profit groups, and sometimes I bring in some nonprofit groups. But it gives me a platform to try to find some interesting people who are really trying to do some great things in our community, our listening area. And I wanted just to give you a sense of what the arc of the show is going to be today. I've got a couple of in-studio guests. I'm going to start with David Green, who's the Director of Programs and Membership for the Cultural Alliance of Fairfield County. Their mission is to support cultural organizations, artists, and creative businesses by providing promotion, services, and advocacy. And we'll be starting off with him shortly. He's here live in the studio. My second guest will be Howard Safan, who's an entrepreneur and a developer, business owner, involved in the past with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers and Harbor Yard Sports and Entertainment. And Howard is teaming with concert promoter Live Nation to turn the old Harbor Yard ballpark into a music amphitheater. And we'll hear a little bit about that project. And then my final guest will be Paul Carriger, who's the Director of Business Development for MemberCard. And MemberCard is a leading provider of contributor loyalty programs for nonprofits around the country, especially public radio and public media nonprofits. And I want to talk with him and announce a new program that we're going to be kind of restarting for our sustaining supporters, those of you who are making monthly donated payments to WPKN. I would like to start off first with just a little look back at the end of the calendar year and some of the activities that we had that we were working on, and give you a couple of numbers about the results of our winter appeal letter that went out to about 5,000 of you and asked if you could dig just a little bit deeper, because we did have such a banner year last year. We asked quite often about help with our transmitter, and through your generosity, we were able to not only purchase that but also get it installed. And I think we're sounding better than ever, and that's you know, really great. And we want to thank you for all your efforts to get us there. We also started an endowment fund, which I think is great. It's really trying to ensure the long-term sustainability of WPKN, and that means a lot for us to have set that up with the Fairfield County Community Foundation. And then the third element of that banner year, I suppose, would be the fact that Connecticut Magazine named WPKN as the best radio station in the state of Connecticut for music, and that was a really nice award that was bestowed on the station by the editors. So that was really quite remarkable. And so it was a great year, and it ended in a strong way. Our financial impact from this final year-end appeal, with a multitude of checks coming back, and also we had that online challenge match of $10,000, we were able to raise close to $40,000 in the final weeks of the year, really the final 2 weeks or so of last calendar year. So again, thank you for all you did for us in 2017, and we're looking forward to a great 2018. A couple of things we're working on internally here. We had a meeting yesterday with Richard Hill, who's one of our programmers, who's does a lot of work here in the community affairs programming, and also our webmaster, David Appel. We are going to try to increase a bit the emphasis on our non-music programming and podcasts, not when it comes to actually programming, you know, on-air time, but just in terms of making it a little bit easier for you to find out what the content of these podcasts are and make it a little easier for you to download them. We have about 670 podcasts, and they've been listened to almost 40,000 times. So what we're going to do on the homepage is we're going to try to restructure the homepage a bit and allow a greater access to see the different types of podcasts that we have, loosely grouping them into public affairs, the environment, health and wellness, and arts and culture. And so we have almost 60 programs that we have developed podcasts for that will loosely fit into those four categories. And we will be redesigning the homepage to make it a little bit easier, and the homepage being at WPKN.org. So that's one thing that we're working on. We have our Music on Film series that starts again for the winter spring. And again, we'd like to thank some of our sponsors for that, the Bridgeport Downtown Special Services District, and also Two Roads Brewing Company. They have renewed their sponsorship of that series. We're going to kick things off on Thursday, next week Thursday, with a re-showing of the documentary Muscle Shoals. We did that about 4 years ago, and it was, you know, it's quite a well-done documentary, but it is probably even more timely right now with the passing of the founder of Fame Studios, a gentleman by the name of Rick Hall, who died last week. And it was really Fame Studios that created the whole Muscle Shoals sound. And this documentary takes a look at a number of the performers who are in the film, from Aretha Franklin, Keith Richards, and Jimmy Cliff, Steve Winwood, and so many others who recorded down there in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. So again, that's going to be next week, Thursday. Even if you've seen it before on Netflix, perhaps, it's always nice to see it on the big screen and also hear the music on a very nice sound system. And there'll be a beer tasting from Two Roads Brewing Company, and we're going to have some music from Fame Studios and some of the Muscle Shoals recordings in the lobby starting at 6, and the movie will screen at 7. You can get your tickets in advance at the Bijou box office. Those will be $12 in advance. The our big Music Mash Record Fair, just to make sure that you save the date, it's the first Saturday in March once again. And that is our big record fair that this year will include about 50 dealers from all over New England. In fact, I just checked with our group that does all of the dealer relations. They're called Record Riots, and they do a number of record shows in and around the New York and New Jersey area. And they actually told me that the tables have sold out. So if you wanted to get involved, it's unfortunately it's too late again. So it's a great event for WPKN. We hold it at Reed's Art Space. It's a great event for downtown Bridgeport. We usually get about 1,000 people attending that. So again, we'll have plenty of more information as we get closer to the date of March 3rd for WPKN's Music Mash Record Fair 2018. So let me introduce our first guest. You'll recognize his voice from FC Buzz. You'll also recognize his voice from a couple of appearances here on WPKN. David Green is the Director of Programs and Membership for the Cultural Alliance of Fairfield County. And as I mentioned, they produce FC Buzz, the cultural calendar that we play a couple times each week. David writes and produces that and records it. And they have a long history of hosting a show here as part of our community broadcasting strip from 12 noon until 1. And David has been very active in outreach, not only in terms of their cultural organizations, but he's taken a particular interest, I think, in doing a lot of community building workshops and getting together members of the community to design some special programming for urban design, urban renewal, and a placemaking, creative placemaking as well. I think in 2015, the Cultural Alliance did an event called Creative Ground, Common Ground. 2016, you did Creative Spaces for the Creative Economy. And most recently, you did a really interesting film festival at the Bijou, the Citizen Jane Film Festival, that was all about urban renewal and urban planning. And I had a chance to attend that, and it was really well put together, well attended, and very timely. And you have something that has been a little bit under the radar, at least for me, but I think for a lot of folks in your orbit that are doing urban planning, it's not so. But I wanted to really give you a little bit more of an opportunity to talk about a two-day conference that you have coming up, which is basically called Creative. It's a Creative Placemaking Conference, Shaping Community. And I wonder if you can talk, David, a little bit about the the genesis of that particular conference, who it's aimed at, and what some of the themes would be for this event that is taking place on January 23rd and the 24th. And where is that, in Norwalk?
At the Stepping Stones Museum.
Okay.
In Norwalk.
Yeah. Okay, let's just get this set up here. Good. Talk a little bit about the background and your particular interest in kind of this area of urban renewal, urban planning, continues with this conference, it sounds like.
Right. So creative placemaking is a concept that has really been growing over the last, I would say, the last decade, especially in the last 5 years or so. And the idea is to bring the magic, the vision, the genius, if you like, the inspiration of individual artists and their organizations into play with the experts, the professional urban planners, the town planners, the architects, as well as the experts in the field of transportation, in health, just to be able to engage in not just the streetscape, although including that, but the way our lives are lived in our neighborhoods, to bring a level of life and spirit to it. You can do the job, you can make streets do their job, but you can also make them come alive. You can make them places where people want to hang out because there's a spirit there, there's an enterprise there. The New England Foundation for the Arts, that incorporates five of the New England states, holds this fascinating biannual conference, CCX, Creative Communities Exchange. And I've attended a couple of those and seen examples of creative placemaking projects at work that really enlivens the urban texture, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, well, so what great examples are there here in Fairfield County? And it may be me, but I haven't come across too many. And I thought it would be great if we could galvanize the community and get together and both look at other examples of what the impact of the arts is. So let's look at the public art. I mean, mm-hmm. There is public art in many of our towns. So what's the impact of that? Who are the artists who've done it? Right now, one of the most recent phenomena, I think, is the painted stairway on Broad Street, the Broad Street steps right next to the Downtown Cabaret and
right,
City Light
sure.
Gallery.
Liz Squilacci. And others,
that.
Yeah.
And that has become this sort of magnet, this has gravitational pull. I was talking to Liz, and it just pulls people in. So it sort of demonstrates the magic that the arts can hold. So we're doing 2 days, January the 23rd, Tuesday the 23rd, at the Stepping Stones Museum in Norwalk, 9 to 5. We'll be looking at examples of the impact of the arts, public art, artist residences, theatre, how theatre helps us generate a sense of place, a wonderful series of events around storytelling. You know, storytelling is essential in terms of really getting a good sense of all of the texture of all the many stories that come together to create the sense of a town or a neighborhood. And then the second day, we are amazingly lucky that we've managed to bring in senior staff from the National Endowment for the Arts, from Art Place America, and from LISC, an officer from Philadelphia at LISC, all of which fund creative placemaking projects. And they will be working with working teams that we're collecting from nine of our towns.
So in other words, I know that you've been holding some workshops or some lunches in various towns in Fairfield County. And how many of those outreach meetings have you already had?
We have had, let's see, we've had six. We've got our seventh tonight in New Canaan and the last one in Stamford next Wednesday. And these are, we're calling them sort of pump priming events to pull people together as mixed, as diverse a group as we can from each town to talk about their feelings about the town, the issues, things that they would like to see, but to sort of give a sense of the flavor of the town.
Right. Which towns besides, you mentioned New Canaan, Stamford,
all right.
Bridgeport is on board,
let me
obviously.
Think. Yeah, Bridgeport, we had our first one. We had 40 people. A couple just before Christmas, we've had meetings in Greenwich, in Norwalk, in Westport. Last night was in Stratford. I know a good number of them, and it's pretty amazing to see a number of people when they come in. They're a little quizzical. They wonder what this is going to be about. They're some perhaps a little defensive, but.
Right.
After 2 hours, you can't break the group up.
Sure.
They're all talking. They've been sharing stories about the town, sharing ideas about how things could be improved. And, I mean, just by itself, we seem to have unlocked something. I don't know what we can do with this energy that we've unlocked in these town meetings.
And these town meetings have they've been open to members of each of those communities,
right.
And somehow they will distill down to a team of six to eight people.
So, for example, the National Endowment for the Arts, our town grant. They require that any project proposal. Be co-written with a municipal officer. So we are making sure that at each of the town meetings and then at our January 24th working group day that we have at least one, possibly two or more, town officials, as well as, of course, some professional experts, some planners, architects. We've got a few lawyers. We'd like a few more health experts, and of course, two or three artists. So we're putting together these teams of between six and eight,
with a focus on perhaps trying to actually help in the writing of a NEA Our Town grant that would be open for individual towns or for the county in general. Or
we are doing it town by town. Mm-hmm. And as I said, we're having, you know, these senior staff from LISC and Art Place America and the NEA actually facilitating these sessions. And right at the end, there'll be a kind of funders panel in which each team will pitch its project proposal as far as it's come to the panel, and they will give feedback.
Mm-hmm. Are there some examples of some NEA Our Town grants that have been recently received by any towns
in this
area?
No.
Okay, so it's a
that was
new ball game. Yeah.
That was the impetus. Let's get some money in here to get this this done. And we've got last night we had in Stratford we had the Jay Habansky, the director of planning and zoning, who was very, very enthusiastic and has definitely come aboard. And we've got some interest from the mayor and from Westport. We've got the Westport Arts Advisory Commission. In Bridgeport, we've got Dean Mack from the town planning department and possibly others from town involved. So it's a real opportunity to bring artists, cultural organizations, towns, and professions together to see how the arts can actually collaborate with, if you like, regular
sure,
people.
Yeah. And what are just like one or two types of projects that seem to be, without identifying necessarily a town, but what if you were to flesh it out, what are some of the concepts that would
Well, we've been trying to avoid specific projects. What we've been doing is trying to elicit some general principles that mm-hmm. should come to play. We've had a sense of concern in many places about the siloization of the neighborhoods. There are these really great neighborhoods, but they don't really talk to one another. They don't really know too much about them. What are some ways in which we can liven up the neighborhoods? I mean, it could be as simple as putting down a trailway. I know that Irina Bacala from Trumbull, who was on our radio show on Monday, was talking about a project of setting out some trails and putting up easels for artists to actually do some work to sum up or capture the feeling of the landscape on some of those trails. There was a lot of concern about traffic, making more pedestrian areas and making those, like in one town, let's make a car-free, vehicle-free zone straight from the train station right out to the beach so you can really encourage people to walk along that trail and then enliven it with some projects, maybe some music, some theater, just different ways of enlivening the urban scape.
Right. Well, again, we've been talking with David Green, who's the director of programs for the Cultural Alliance of Fairfield County, and he's been talking a bit about the planned two-day conference called Creative Placemaking, Shaping Community, which will take place in Norwalk at the Stepping Stones Museum on January 23rd and the 24th. It's a two-day event, and looks like it's open to the public on day one. Is that
That's
more
right.
or less correct?
Day one is going to be a great day of discussions, performances, videos, sort of exchange of how the arts work in town. And then the second day will be just for the working groups, as they are going to be both creating and crafting these project proposals with these experts from around the country.
Okay, great. And if our listeners want to get some additional information on how to sign up, what would be a good...
It's there they're on one of our Eventbrite pages. It's just you just go to shapingcommunity.eventbrite.com, shapingcommunity.eventbrite.com.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for coming in, David. I
Terrific.
Appreciate
it's wonderful to
hearing a little bit more
this.
About this the placemaking conference, and it's always really some great work that you've been doing. We really appreciate your efforts in the community. And we're going to take just a quick break, and we'll be back with Howard Safan after just a quick musical break. If we can organize this, we're going to try it. So do stay tuned. Okay, and back we are on the GM Report to the listeners. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, the general manager here at nonprofit community radio station WPKN, and wanted to thank David for coming in into the studio. And I'm also very happy and thankful that Howard Safan could come in live. It's always so much better than being on the telephone. And Howard Safan is he's an entrepreneur. He is a developer and a business owner who actually had a business, I think started out with a big window operation, manufacturing company in Bridgeport. And we have actually overlapped in another industry that has nothing to do with radio, has to do with sports, because he's an owner of the Connecticut Sports Center. And he also was involved with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, the Harbor Yard Sports and Entertainment. And now he's teaming up with the concert promoter Live Nation to turn the Harbor Yard Ballpark into what's being called a summer music amphitheater. Maybe I think I saw the words boutique, a boutique amphitheater. And I wanted to welcome him to WPKN, the first time I think you've been here, right?
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve. Pleasure.
Excellent. Well, I was, as someone who runs a radio station that plays a lot of music, and as a radio station that's actually done some, we've done some, you know, business with Live Nation through our underwriting program, I was just astounded when I, you know, opened up the news one day and saw that there was this really high ticket, exciting new project in Bridgeport that involved live music and Live Nation and an amphitheater project. And then the fact that you were involved was quite intriguing. But I know that you've been involved in a lot of different things, and you've got a great business track record. So I'm just wondering, I know at one point you'd mentioned something to me about a dream you had about doing something with the ballpark. It's come to fruition. It hasn't been built yet, but I mean, it's getting close. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved, Howard, with this project, and just a bit about the kind of the parameters of what this this renovation and what this project will look like when it's ready to go.
Well, about 4 years ago, Jim Koplik, who operates Live Nation Connecticut, president of Live Nation Connecticut, approached me as we were having lunch at Michael's in Wallingford, which is our haunt that we go to, and that's a good plug for Michael's. he said that Live Nation was considering creating a boutique amphitheater in the Danbury area, and turned to me and said, but it would be much more fun and would be much more profitable if it was in Bridgeport. So he said, you've always been interested in the baseball stadium. Is there any way that we could convert that into an amphitheater? So we left our lunch, and I called him back about a day or two later, and I said, you know what? That's an amazing idea.
Yeah.
So having operated and been president of the Webster Bank Arena and the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, I certainly understand the nature of the community and the importance of the community and what Bridgeport means to Fairfield County, New Haven County, and the Valley. So, we watched the baseball stadium and what was happening with the Bluefish. And unfortunately, in the 20 years of operation of the Bluefish, no owner has ever made money. So it was really an incredible give back from the owners of the Bluefish. And finally, they said, enough's enough. And the city created an RFP. And as we partnered with Live Nation, we were fortunate enough to be selected and then approved by both the mayor and the city council. And right now we're in design phase. The venue will be very, very different from most amphitheaters. This one will be totally covered with a tensile membrane roof. It'll be iconic. So as you go on 95, you'll see just an amazing a beautiful white roof with all these peaks, very similar to Denver Airport. I use that as an example. It'll seat the same exact amount of people that will that we're in the baseball stadium, which is roughly about 5,500.
Okay.
And we will start renovation of the amphitheater, hopefully in the spring. Literally on Tuesday, I got the layouts from the architects with regard to seating and concourses and things of that nature.
For those of our listeners that have been to the ballpark, what will the orientation be of the stadium itself? I mean, behind home base, I think now there were some boxes, right? Like kind of, and then then you had the outfield. How will that be restructured?
That's a great question. The fixed seating will stay the same. The stage, which will be 100 feet in length and 60 feet in width, will be somewhere between, as you would know it, the pitcher's mound and second base.
Okay.
So it'll be really very intimate feel. And then the wings of the horseshoe of the baseball stadium will be chopped off. So they'll be seating on the, as we would know, the baseball field will turn to concrete. We're keeping the dugouts. And the dugouts, very interestingly, will be converted to bars. And so people who are sitting on the floor no longer have to go to the concourse to get a drink. They'll be able to get it right there.
Right. So the whole thing will be a cement floor.
Correct.
And then like a basically a tented membrane, like a Tensar membrane. And roughly how many concerts are you projecting during the season? And when does it start and the end date?
So the season starts pretty much in the spring, weather dependent. So if you could sit there and say May 1 through mid-October, we're projecting a minimum of 20 concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful part about having Live Nation as a partner is they operate Blue Hills Pavilion, which is in Boston, and the tour will go from Blue Hills Pavilion in Boston to Bridgeport, Connecticut, and then to
Long Island.
Coney Island.
Coney Island.
Coney
okay.
Island has an amphitheater.
They do have a. In fact, I was using that as a descriptive for this, but I think that it's not exactly the same.
No, it's not. I mean, we're going to be a little more intimate. It's going to be a little different in the sense.
How big is Coney Island?
Coney Island's about 5,000 seats.
Okay,
but it's not a horseshoe like the baseball stadium is.
Well, I mean, that's the remarkable thing about who you're partnering with, Live Nation. $8 billion in revenues, 350 artists that they are managing, and also own Ticketmaster. So it's, there's some people that are going to say that they're too big, you know, and I know there's been some things said about Live Nation the same way that things would be said about anyone that's, very big in their particular industry group. But I think that for Bridgeport, this is such an incredible opportunity for us to bring in some needed vitality. All of the transportation arteries are right there with the Port Jeff Ferry, with I-95, with the train availability. I just think it's tremendous. Look, as much as I like baseball, and again, these are just my own comments, it was, it maybe got off to a hot start. I think the first year or so, there were sellouts, but I mean, it was really kind of an underperforming asset. And I think one of the other RFPs might have been for a professional soccer club, or is that right?
That is.
Yeah, but I think that the vitality of teaming with a partner, a really credible partner, is phenomenal. I mean, Bridgeport has had sometimes a track record at times where the partners just don't deliver because they're not necessarily of a certain level of quality. And there's no disputing that Live Nation has the wherewithal to pull it off, as do you. So I know that there's been some other issues, and I just wanted to ask about the impact of this Live Nation project at the ball field with Mohegan Sun Casino teaming with the arena. I know there are some questions at first about that because the arena where they used to run the arena were complaining that there were some contractual issues that would prohibit you from doing what you're actually going to do now But maybe comment about that, the relationship with the arena now that there's a new deal that's just been struck with Mohegan Sun.
Well, the arena, we always envisioned that the amphitheater would help the arena. It would introduce acts to Fairfield County, to the Webster Bank Arena, that they can come in the fall, the winter, or the spring. The arena itself, in the arena business, it is just not profitable to host concerts in the summer. If you remember way back when we did a concert that was due to be at the baseball stadium, the Bob Dylan concert, we brought it over into the arena, and it was an abject failure. The utility bill for the night was over $25,000. Mm-hmm. So it's not very profitable. I think Live Nation has said that over the past 7 years, they booked one concert in the arena anywhere from May through September. Mm-hmm. So we don't view that as we're competing. If anything, we're helping each other. It's a collaborative effort. You know, the employees at the arena are friends of mine, and I've hired all of them. And we just look at it as building up Bridgeport and making Bridgeport an economic leader. The amphitheater itself will have an economic impact, a projected economic impact of over $51 million into the city of Bridgeport. Mm. And, you know, you could take the arena and the ballpark collectively, and they've never had that kind of economic impact. It will bring people into Bridgeport on a regular basis throughout the summer. And for that, we're very, very excited.
Yeah, I no question about that. And I think... maybe I'm going to ask you just to comment a bit, even though there's not any perhaps direct impact on MGM Grand, the casino complex. Do you view that as a positive or as a negative for what you're doing? Are there any efficiencies or other things that are intriguing to you?
I think it's wonderful if the city of Bridgeport can lure MGM into, I shouldn't say lure, that's not the appropriate word. If the state of Connecticut will approve MGM to come into Bridgeport, it would be wonderful for the city, for ourselves. Jim Urin, the CEO of MGM, grew up in Fairfield, born in Bridgeport, friend. And we would love to partner with them on an assortment of events. They have no plans whatsoever to build a concert venue. It's not, they just don't have the footprint for it.
Right.
So both the arena as well as the amphitheater would benefit tremendously.
Mm. Well, again, we're talking with Howard Safan, who's involved with Live Nation to retrofit the ball stadium, the ballpark here in Bridgeport, and turn it into a boutique amphitheater that will be ready for, I believe, the summer of 2019. Is that
correct?
Really what you're looking at?
Yep.
And it's been really nice to have you here in the studio, Howard. It's an intriguing project. It's a really, certainly it's a musical project and something that personally I'm in favor of. That's my own personal opinion. But I think it's going to add a lot to Bridgeport, and we need that. We need some vitality. We just had David Green in talking about some urban planning and different ideas for revitalization of the downtown. And, you know, we need more cultural organizations. We need more density of housing, more apartments. And I wish you all the best, and we're looking forward to playing some sort of role somewhere down the road as a radio station that no doubt probably is just, you know, a neighbor. So it's great to have you as a neighbor. And we're going to take a little break and be right back with my last guest here on the GM Report to the listeners. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, back we are. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, general manager of WPKN. I do my monthly GM report to the listeners. And we've got time for our final guest, Paul Carriger, who's the director of business development for a group called Member Card. And let's see if I have Paul on the phone. Paul, are you there?
Yeah, good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. I wanted to bring Paul on to the show because we have been working behind the scenes here at PKN for about the last month and a half, 2 months or so, trying to figure out another way to kind of reintroduce a bit of a loyalty program for our sustaining membership. As Paul knows, the last year at WPKN, we've been so focused on just these kind of initial one-time gifts for our transmitter project. But for 2018, we really want to embark on more of a sustaining approach for our listeners who can make, you know, $10, $20, $50 ongoing monthly sustaining support type of payments to WPKN. And Paul and Paul's company, Member Cards, has worked with you know, hundreds of nonprofits and also has a great great position and a reputation with public radio stations. So we are rolling out for our sustaining supporters at the $10 or more a month level this idea of becoming part of this Member Card program. And maybe you can talk a little bit about the company and how public radio stations are using it for, you know, for increasing some of sustaining support.
Yeah, so I'm happy to. You know, Member Card has been around since 1990, and you're absolutely right. We work with about 110 TV and radio stations across the country. What we do is provide a local service that connects the members, the local businesses, and a station all through a community outreach. The businesses on the program are participating, so they'll attract a lot of repeat customers. Any program that we put together for radio stations, such as WPKN, are local businesses. So that's what I feel like, and that's what our years of experience has shown us, is that radio, TV listeners and supporters want to support their local businesses. So we reach out to dining and arts and attraction benefits, and we try to attract a high value proposition in terms of what the benefit is. So as the benefits roll out, you'll see that you'll get 2-for-1 entrees rather than a 10% off the bill. So we like to get something that's a little bit more meaningful for the stations. It makes it really easy for the stations to promote it during pledge drives, keep the messaging simple, people understand what the program is, and they'll more likely support the station that they love anyway. So and they get something out of it.
And we know that our listeners love WPKN, and I think they're going to love this idea of getting back with this Member Card program. Now, we rolled this out almost 8 years ago. We didn't really do a very good job at it, and we really were kind of fumbling about. But I think one thing that's happened in the interim is the addition of the online app, which has changed. It's been a real game changer, I think. Instead of having, you know, the booklet that people would get that had a list of all the restaurants and the cultural organizations, now, as well as the booklet, there is a member card where you can actually download an app to your phone. And it works a lot like a Groupon situation where, you know, you might be at a particular museum that is in the WPKN member card list of organizations. And when you're there, you can actually activate like the 2-for-1 admission, for example, and just, you know, press that, you know, right at the front desk. So it's very user-friendly.
It is, absolutely. So I'm glad you touched upon the mobile app, because it's something that's very portable. You're going to present the mobile app to your whoever, the wait staff or the person taking admissions at the museum or the theater or wherever, because we do a lot of cultural benefits as well. And they'll be able to see that their organization is in fact participating in the WPKN member program. And then you'll be able to do things like get 2-for-1 touch redemption, and you can also see call ahead for reservations through the mobile app. So it's a lot more dynamic.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people on the radio side, as the younger demographic, will appreciate this because it's mobile and it's something that you don't have to, you know, reach into your wallet for, since you already have your smartphone out anyway.
Exactly. No, I think that, as I said, it's a real game changer, and there's still the old school way of you know, carrying the card and the booklet and the different members of the network can do it manually as well, but you can also just do it on your phone. And there's really a fine list, again, of restaurants, many restaurants from the Fairfield area, the Hartford area, the New Haven area, and even into Suffolk County. And the same can be said for the cultural organizations. And I think some of our listeners who are already sustaining supporters, and they have been for a while, are saying, man, why didn't you do this a year ago or 6 months ago? We're going to make it retroactive, just to let you know. If you've been a sustaining supporter at the $10 or more level, we're going to get you a card and get you started, you know, right away, because we want you to start enjoying these benefits. And for those of you that have not become a sustaining supporter of WPKN, this is just a one-way gift that we can offer to you for your support. And I think, Paul, I wanted to thank you and your group, and Hannah, who's in charge of client services. She's going to be working with WPKN, and we're looking forward to a nice relationship between Absolutely. WPKN and MemberCard.
Yeah, so are we. I mean, it's a great value for the, if you use the one benefit a month, you've made your money back easily. So you could actually up your monthly giving that way as well.
Yeah. Again, Paul Carriger, who's the Director of Business Development for MemberCard. They're based up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And we are rolling out, and you'll be hearing much more on air and also as part of our monthly e-newsletters, etc., about our sustaining supporter program and MemberCard. So thanks for joining us. And
Absolutely.
We'll be in touch.
All right. Good. Thank you.
And I wanted to thank all of you for listening to the GM Report. If you missed parts of it, I'm going to put it up as a podcast. And again, thank you for all of your continued support that you've given us in 2017. We're going to have a great 2018 with all of you staying with us and telling a friend about the wonderful community affairs programming and musical shows here at your favorite listener-supported radio station. We're WPKN, and coming up next will be Robin Bateau with Chateau Bateau, one of our faves around here. Have a good week.
Support for WPKN comes from Live Nation, presenting Tedeschi Trucks Band with Drive-By Truckers and the Marcus King Band Friday, July 6th at Xfinity Theater in Hartford. Tickets available this Friday at noon at livenation.com.
This is Peggy Nelson, co-host with Richard Feniger of WPKN's weekly arts and culture show called State of the Arts. Join us every Friday at noon to hear our conversations with area cultural organizations, theaters, actors and actresses, and other leading voices from the world of the arts, here at 89.5 FM and streaming at WPKN.org.
Hi, this is Dave Hogan from WPKN. This month for our Music on Film series, we have the incredible true story of a small town with a big sound. It's the movie Muscle Shoals on Thursday, January 18th at the Bijou Theater on the big screen with the big sound. Muscle Shoals tells the story of Rick Hall, founder of Fame Studios located in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. We're showing this film again as a tribute to Hall, who just recently passed away. The film showcases numerous performers, were recorded there, such as Aretha Franklin, Mick Jagger, Jimmy Cliff, Steve Winwood, Wilson Pickett, and others. Doors open at 6 p.m. with a Two Roads Brewing Company beer tasting and music from the famed studios era in the lobby, and the movie screens at 7 p.m. Advance tickets are $12 and $15 at the door. Join us on January 18th to find out more about the groove that is Muscle Soul Sound. Tickets and info at BijouTheaterConnecticut.net. Thanks to our sponsors, Two Roads and the Bridgeport DSSD. I love you.
This is John Motivalli from WPKN. Do you have a collection of vinyl LPs or 45s in very good condition that you might be interested in donating to WPKN for a tax credit? We're specifically looking for classic jazz, as well as 60s and 70s rock, soul, psych, funk, and folk. If you'd like to talk to us about your collection, please contact our general manager during office hours at 203-331-9756. Thanks.
Is trading in your car more hassle than it's worth? Then choose a real alternative. Donating your car to WPKN. Avoid the blue book blues and the dealer drama and contribute to the diverse universe that is your WPKN. You'll get a sweet tax deduction and will feel that WPKN pride while you're out in your new ride. Donating is easy. Call 877-WPKN-CAR, 877-WPKN-CAR, or go straight to